This is HNN.
Good evening. This is HNN, the Hollow Table News Network, and it is your not even remotely close to around-the-clock Star Wars Galaxy Heroes news, reaction, review, theory crafting, and more source. I'm Judge Pico Burrito, your host, and today we are joined by our co-host, Celiac Sarah. Sarah, how are you this fine day?
I don't know if I should be concerned. Am I going to be judged? Am I being put on trial?
So for folks that didn't hear, it was just 2 weeks ago. I am officially an international jump rope union certified competition judge. And I will now only respond to Judge Pico Burrito, as I did not go to international jump rope union judging school to not have the honorific added to my name. So yes, Judge Pico Burrito from this point forward.
I love it.
So yeah. How you doing?
Yeah. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I mean, it's we were just talking before the show. I think we're both anxious.
Yeah. I don't want to say on edge, but
yeah,
a little.
Like something's coming, just when are we gonna get it? When's it gonna happen? Yeah,
like a little Jonesy.
Yeah. I just come on, guys. Like I don't want to go back to the pre-software update days where it's just like, does anyone at CG still work there? Is someone there to turn the lights off in the building? If it, I mean, we're not going to say the game's dying, but it just needs something.
We just got back on schedule with our recording and CG's schedule with posting news. It was working really nicely, and I'm okay with having a Christmas break. I know this is coming where we're going to have our little lull over Christmas.
Yeah.
Give me something beforehand. Yeah.
It's crazy how we start to fall into these patterns, because it's like it's every other week, and then when the other week doesn't happen, like, oh, this must be one of the 3 week cycles. Then the 3 week cycle hits and you're like, wait, no, two data points is okay, but three data points, I can't manage that. Like,
yeah. Oh man, but they did okay. So there's like minor news, I guess. I shouldn't say minor, because one of the things seems pretty major.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I should say major, but there's a little news.
Well, it's funny. So I think there's two pieces. Actually, I do think that the two headlines, both of them are actually really big news.
Mm-hmm.
But also, because of the very subdued manner of which we got the updates, you know, three very to the point sentences, kind of just like, look, it's A, B, C, and D. And that's all that it was. It felt a lot smaller, but let's be honest, like an update on the squish and that they're doing something about it, that is big news. Who knows what it's going to look like, but this other thing around the GL events is I think it'll be big. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about first?
We want to talk about the squish, because I think the squish is probably the least exciting of the two, or at least.
Yeah. I think the main thing with the squish, there's two main things. One, they actually addressed it.
Yep.
Like, this is the first time on the forums that they're actually addressing it. We know that they knew. It is kind of like a quick thing, because they're obviously not going to tell us what they're doing. They're just telling us that they're looking at it, and they've rejigged the formula, and we should expect to see weird things over the next little bit. I personally got squished up this season.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Because I don't know where I don't know if anyone knows where the line is. Maybe Taliana does, because she was been compiling the data, but I'm towards like the middle bottom of K2, and I got squished up.
Okay.
But I know people at the top of K2 got squished down. So
yeah. And there's a couple things there, because I know a lot of people were looking with a lot of data, because Taliana kicked off a survey because she's trying to gather some data, which, again, I really appreciate. And I think she's uniquely qualified to interpret that data. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people were looking at it and starting to look at the, like, for the ghost in the machine to understand where these things are. And I think everyone needs to be very, very cautious, because CG has said this is going to take 4 months for it to shake out. So we may see weird behaviors and the numbers, you know, well, I was up 7 and now I fell 5 and or whatever those pieces are. I think this is a we're going to use that P word that no one in the community likes. We need to have a little bit of patience for the next few months while it works out. But I found it funny that on the last show we talked about how the cost differential between the two didn't matter. And then literally like 7 days later, I was like, we're going to fix it. So, you know, it's clearly, that's our new tactic. We're just going to talk about how nothing ever matters. Like the new raid doesn't matter.
Right. Nothing matters.
Who cares? Nothing matters. And then we'll just get stuff much, much faster that way. So we have that power.
Oh man. yeah. And I honestly, like, not only do I think this is going to take like a little bit of patience from us, but I wouldn't be surprised to see like really weird things happening with our rankings and our skill rating, even like mid season. Because we're so used to the squish happening when you join, like when the season starts, that I wouldn't be surprised if things just fluctuate during.
I do think, and I know that I've been critical of the folks that have kind of complained about people falling in you know, high GPs and falling down to lower pieces. And I'll be honest, I've yet to hear someone come up with a good solution. There are just times that life gets in the way. Now, if you're in a Rhodium and you're at, you know, 10 million plus, that probably doesn't belong. But I know that people are frustrated from that side. But I do think that this is a net positive, because you know, the interesting piece was they want to see more people in Kyber, which means they want to see people progress in that direction. They got to fix the people falling or not caring piece of it. But again, I think this is a move in a positive direction. Patience. It takes time to figure this stuff out.
Totally. So yeah, I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the squish.
That's the squish. I mean, it's again, it's you know, I think the other thing just to acknowledge on the squish, and again, it's I think in general people kind of give Meathead a hard time. It was a massively well-written post that was to the point. It laid everything out. And look, the guy should be able to enjoy his job. I appreciate I think he realized how important it was to accurately kind of communicate this very clearly. And I thought it was just a massively well-written post, and it laid things down. And I do think also at the same time, I do believe in what he say that he's been fighting for this on the backside.
Yeah.
Which is what you want out of a community manager.
Totally.
They're the bridge from us to the developers, and I do appreciate the fact that I think that he's been fighting on our behalf. It was behind the scenes, and sometimes that's just the way the world works. So
yeah, and I know you and I have talked about this. I know I've talked to Zareth about it, but like we know he was collecting info from Taliana, like to the point that she was compiling her data as slide deck presentations, and basically just sending them to him, and he was taking those and taking them into meetings. So like he's definitely been doing stuff behind the scenes. And I think a lot of what has also happened, and I'm just speculating because I don't actually know this, but I would assume that he did that, but then also they were probably looking at how things were happening over the last couple of months in terms of the squish and running numbers with their formula here to see how things would shake out theoretically, following like taking the actual data of what happened and then seeing what would happen with this new formula on their end, not on our end, obviously.
Yeah, it would have been straight up chaos if we'll say 2 months ago they came up with a new formula, like, hey, we're going to put this into place, we think this is going to fix it, and we're halfway through maybe one of the GAC, you know, we're in the middle of week two, and they're like, yeah, it's not working the way that we wanted it to, but we've got to let it run till we can make a tune from that side. So this is probably something that they needed live data to look at. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't understand how a swarm moves unless you watch a swarm of bees. So, you know, part of it, I'm guessing that's probably some of the things that happened on the backside. And again, we'll watch over the next few months. It'll be interesting to see if, what I'd love to get to the squish and then turn someone like Taliana loose on, do people really not care about 3v3 as much as they say they do? Like that's the that's the next big thing of data that I want somebody to look at and understand, kind of, do we see a subset of the do we see this a subset of the GAC population drop much farther,
right,
because they're not playing? And do we see another group of users that jump up high? Because for everyone who's not playing, someone's going to win that. So are we seeing more people that are going 6-3, 7-2, mm-hmm. and a bunch of people that are going 0-9? But yeah, I'd love to see some of that.
Well, and it's funny that you even mentioned that too, because I was talking to Zareth about it, and I went, so last 3v3 season, the last week I had Leia. So the first two weeks I didn't have her, but the last week I did. And I still was like quasi trying.
Yeah.
I ended up going 6-3 during 3v3, which is just wild. But one of the rounds, I went in, it was a player from a solo bases guild that I was just like, okay, like this is going to be game over, but fine. I went in, I messed up a counter, I got 10 points, and I was like, all right, I'm going to call it good, because I'm not even going to bang my head against this. I got a busy day, and I logged off, did some running around, logged back in at like 5:30 when the round was done. He didn't even attack, and I won 10-0.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like those kinds of things that happen too.
Well, and you know, I know we don't typically talk about GSC. I am really bummed out in 3v3. So in the last round of 3v3, I got matched up with Calvin, and really was looking forward to going against that, because again, he's really good, and I just have, you know, more relic levels. But it happened to be again the weekend that I was traveling to become an international jump rope union judge. So I wasn't able to do it, but he did fear it full clear me. I would have loved the chance to have gotten up. I actually got to go back and watch the stream. I'd love to see how it did against it. But I really wanted a chance to go up against someone who's clearly smarter than I am in this game, and kind of see how I would have stacked up against it. So bummer on that side. So
yeah,
but
dang.
All right. So do we want to touch base on the ultimate journey?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I've talked about this so much today, and I did not realize that it was called the Ultimate Journey until right now. I just kept calling it the GL event.
I mean, the Ultimate Journey kind of sounds morbid.
It does, yes. Like, the game's dying, all right? Yeah. When you finish this, the game is dying. Mm-hmm. So we got an update. We didn't get a lot of the details. A lot of the details, the community kind of pulled out of the data mine and, you know, Sig Sig and the event server kind of doing that, all that work around that piece. But if you haven't heard, I mean, very, very simply put, we're going to get a new monthly event. So this is going to happen once a month. Meathead did confirm that. Mm-hmm. And the event is going to happen at the conclusion of Conquest. Mm-hmm. So it launches on the same day as Proving Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you're going to be able to take your Galactic Legends into a very specific battle, be able to take your swing, and at the conclusion of that, you get 300 currency of this new Galactic Legend currency.
Yes.
So that's what it is. Must be Relic 7 on your Galactic Legend, correct?
That's right. But not the whole team, just the GL.
Yeah, it sounds like the rest of the team will not be required to, but I believe in the data mine, I think they said R5 was the requirement.
Is it R5
for the? I thought I saw that. Maybe it might have been the recommended. And you can do the event once for free,
mm-hmm.
and then refresh up to two more times at 250 crystals per refresh.
And they're not shared across the tiers.
They're not shared, correct?
Which is so you could refresh each tier.
Yes. Now, why would you want to refresh each tier? Well, there's not rewards, but there are rewards you can buy.
Right. Because there's a new store.
There is a new store because that's what we need. I have to scroll twice to get to it. But you earn legend tokens. And for each event, you get 300 tokens. So up to 2,400 tokens if you have 8 Galactic Legends and you clear everything. And first and foremost, the ones that are on the list are for 600 legend tokens. You can get an Omicron.
Right.
So in theory, if you have 8 Galactic Legends, you clear the event, that is, you can earn yourself 4 Omicron deep now.
Right.
Omicron mats. Yeah. Sorry, I looked over something. And again, our third co-host has just joined us, and I was checking on how he's doing. So Now the twist here is it looks like the store is going to be a weekly store.
It does.
And there's only two Omicrons in there. So if you're going to earn four for free, you're burning mm-hmm. you're burning 2 weeks of the month in between conquests trying to earn this.
Correct. So are you going to refresh so that you can buy the other 2 weeks when this event is not?
I will 100% because for 2,000 crystals to be able to get four more Omicrons mm-hmm. to me seems like the easiest slam dunk in the game.
250 crystals is a cheap refresh cost, all things considered. Yes. Especially like, so yes, Omicrons are in here, but you've also got Conquest characters in there.
That's huge.
And if you are refreshing at 250 crystals to get 300 currency, and let me just look. So 300 currency gets you two character shards, which is not crazy, but it does get you two. 250 crystals and you get two character shards. The Proving Grounds refresh is 2,000 crystals, I believe.
Yes, 999. I think I saw someone say that. I could be wrong on that. Yeah,
it still feels like a cheaper option than Proving Grounds. I think you only get 10 shards though in Proving Grounds.
Yes, but in this case, so if you can, so take, you're trying to get Cat because that's what I'm looking at on here right now. So Proving Ground rolls around, you get 10.
Yep.
Out of Proving Grounds. You just got Super Cal and Super Ray as part of that super awesome discount. So you do that twice. So you throw another 500 crystals at those two characters. And now you're picking up 14
right.
shards. That's, again, you do that three times. And now all of a sudden you're spending 3,000 crystals and you're kind of pulling in a whole month faster of how long it's going to take. I think it's great from that perspective. It also is, if you're not working on Galactic Legends, you need to work on Galactic Legends. That's
totally.
It's just that simple. You need to have those things unlocked because they're throwing some value in it. My question, and again, I'm going to be super interested in this next month as we roll into it.
Mm-hmm.
What if they give us two swings at the ultimate journey if you're willing to buy the Conquest Pass Plus? Man, that was really hard for me to say right there. So if they treat it like Proving Grounds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you could do it for 2 days instead of one day, let's say.
And now you don't have to do the refreshes.
Right.
So.
And, okay, so now you don't have to do the refreshes and you also don't have to do two of those grindy feats.
Absolutely.
In Conquest.
Not to mention faster stamina regen. You get all of the other advantages of the Conquest Pass Plus mm-hmm. that's associated with it. You get two swings at your Proving Grounds with it as mm-hmm. well. We know that they've put some effort into trying to convert people to the Conquest, you know, either the low-end pass or the high-end pass.
Right.
If they come in and offer this as part of that, to me, that seems super easy to get people to swing over to that $30 pass. Like, I think it makes a lot of sense at that point when you start looking at everything they're kind of packing into it from that perspective. But
yeah, I think so too.
But for, you know, the way I'm looking at it right now, for 2,000 crystals, I'm going to pick up four extra full Omicrons a year.
Right.
That to me is, so 2,000 crystals a month. I mean, to be fair, 2,000 crystals a month, that's 24,000 crystals on a year. I think that's a slam dunk from that side. You know, and it does look like they're trying to make Omicrons a little bit more accessible. So.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting because now I'm kind of like, do you just are we going to get more Omicrons in terms of like character releases? I feel like they've been slowing it down with those.
Although every character that is released this year has had an Omicron, correct?
I think so.
So we're at least at, we're back to the initial Zeta cycle of every character started getting a Zeta. It wasn't until things kind of got chaos with until two started to become the norm, which we're now kind of at two as the norm. But I really do think that, yeah, it'll be interesting. Now, what throws it off is, you know, we'll get the Bow triple Zeta character. We got the Cal triple Zeta character, and we got the Reva triple Zeta character that were not kind of part of that normal West cadence. So that would give us a total of 7 triple Zeta characters this year.
Right.
That's 21 right there. I mean, I think I did the math right there. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they're starting to add up very quickly from that side. And again, I think that to me, it's interesting because I think CG is finding a different way to get people to use resources into Omicrons. And I know that not everyone's going to look at this from an Omicron perspective, but I think that at least the way that you and I are treating it, like that's that top line. I don't see myself dipping past that top line. There's just, it's not worth the resources there.
Me neither. I think especially if you are in a spot kind of similar to where we are, where you've got the Conquest characters unlocked, your guild is doing whichever tier in the new raid.
Yep.
You're going to be getting your gear from that raid currency. So you don't really need to dip into the gear. You won't need to dip into the character shards because, like I said, you're getting those from Conquest.
Yep.
The only other thing that's in here is micro attenuators, which I personally have never had to buy.
Yeah. In fact, that's what I'm using one of the gets for right now that we're earning as I'm buying micro attenuators because that's really all that that's all that I need out of it anymore. So
yeah, so you got that, and then there's one spot there for signal data.
Yeah,
which I don't think I would buy.
And honestly, eventually your roster gets to a point that you're using your 3 cantina refreshes.
Mm-hmm.
Just on signal data as it is anyway, just because that's the only thing that you can really dump it into. I think when you've got all the characters, it's just and honestly, 100 of these crystals for 5 fragmented signal data, you can get 5 signal data for 100 crystals.
Right, exactly.
You know, just doing a refresh. So it seems kind of silly from that point. So, wait, they did say the new bow is going to unlock at 7 stars. I was gonna be like, how funny would it be if they're like, oh, by the way, you don't need to use your get for bow, but she's going to go into this new store from that side. So
that would be terrible.
Yeah. I am slightly disappointed that this is not another source of arrow magnifiers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm been, still struggling with that right now.
Well, that would have been a great thing because you could do arrow magnifiers and Omicrons. People are going to want both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and then you have more of like an enticing factor here to get people to refresh because you're going to want as much currency as possible so that you can get Omicrons and arrow mags.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point because the way it's set up right now, if all you're chasing are the Omicron mats, there's no point of you doing 2 refreshes because you end up with more of the tokens than you can spend because it refreshes once a week. So you can only spin it, 4 times through the month. If you put something else in there, I might be inclined to actually spend on that or use the tokens on that, which would then cause me to refresh a second time, which now you're extracting 4,000 tokens a month or crystals a month out of me, which again may require a vault or something similar to that point. So who knows?
Right. Exactly. So I mean, maybe we're going to see some changes to this.
Yeah. But who knows? And when it does get added to the Conquest Pass next month, I will expect all of the credit in the world that this idea came from me. Like, literally 30 minutes into it, I was asking the Discord server, would you consider spending in this case?
Yeah, I think that's... I'm curious if that is something that they thought about or not.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely curious about that, because that would be a very interesting point to bring up.
And if they weren't thinking about it, guys, call us. We got lots of great ideas.
We have so many ideas.
So many ideas.
Man.
So many of them.
So the first one of this event is going to start Monday, because it's going to be in line with Proving Ground starting. So when Conquest ends, then we'll have this going. I'm curious how hard it's going to be.
Yeah. Now, I think there's a difficulty cap in it, because, like, Proving Ground, you can take any team in, so you can make it super difficult and then just kind of make the gate into it being, you know, you just have to have the right characters. So now you've got to go, you've got to go invincible. When it's basically R7 and R5, throw some relic levels on your team and go from there. But at a certain point, you know, you might have to remod, but you can't go anywhere else when your characters hit a certain level. You know, when you're fixed characters and you can't go anywhere else, that becomes interesting from that side. So,
especially like a lot of players, yes, you have Relic 7 on your GLs. A lot of players go past it. Like, I took Leia right away to Relic 9.
Yep.
So at that point, like, you can't make it that much more difficult, right?
I mean, there are new players, or the players that are just kind of unlocking Rey and Kylo, that may not be at Relic 7. But honestly, if you've got a Galactic Legend, they're probably 7 minimum.
Well, it's actually funny that you say that, because I've gotten a ton of trigger photo things sent my way for Crate that are people that unlock GLs and leave them either at Gear 1, or they take them up, and it's like, I just got one literally yesterday morning of, I think it was 5 or 6 GLs on a roster, and all of them were all over the place in terms of relic levels, but they were no higher than relic 5. So, like, some were 5, some were 3, like, it was just, like, all over the place. And they had their ultimates, like, it was just, like, this haphazard thing. And now I'm like, for those who are purposely doing that, whether it's like a joke or what the deal is, are you going to take them to 7 now so that you can participate in this event?
Yeah. Do you sometimes, when you get those photos, do you think you're playing a different game than they are?
You know what the funny thing is sometimes it takes me a while to find what the trigger is, because I'll be looking at it, I'm like, I don't. Like, there was one that we did that the trigger was like how many attempts there were on the battle, and it was something ridiculous. And I didn't even look there. I was looking at it and I was like, is it because they did Vader lead Starkiller? Like, I don't really. Yeah. And then I saw it, because there's just so many random things. It is wild what people do. So,
I don't think you get any context around some of it as well. So part of it is like, is this intended to be funny? Is this someone who fundamentally doesn't understand what this is? Is this someone who doesn't realize what the point of Galaxy of Heroes is playing? Like, I would have a very hard time doing that. Like, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a jerk. So here you go.
Here you are. But now I'm curious, like, if people are going to do that, or are they going, like, is there a part of the community that's mad that there's a relic minimum? I'm not surprised that there is.
R7's not much of a gate anymore.
Well, this is the thing, is R7 on a GL.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see if it was like the whole team needed to be R7, because you could kind of get away, like, let's use Kenobi as the example. You can kind of get away a lot of time with having like a lower relic cat.
Right.
But it's just the GL.
Now, what's going to be interesting is, like, so take Jedi Master Luke. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. My Jolie's only gear 12. It's time to take that next step. Like there's going to be a bunch of people that I think are going to have a little bit of a reality check of no. It's time to get your roster into relics. If it's something that you use frequently, get them into relics. Because I know Jolie is one of those characters that works at G12.
Yeah.
But also the game is moving in a direction of being a very relic heavy game mode. So maybe we just we find some time to throw some resources. And yes, bronziums and all of that other thing is an issue, but it is what it is. So
Jolie works at gear 12 if he lives.
If he lives,
right? Like,
and relics help him live, so
yeah. So give him some love. Okay, so is there anything else really we can talk, because they didn't really give us anything.
No, they didn't.
Other than that, there's going to be a tier for each GL.
I mean, folks, you were listening to two professional podcasters here that we actually were able to generate 10 to 12 minutes of conversation out of about 45 words on the page. Like, we're good at what we do, okay? That's it's just that simple.
Oh, man. So I guess we'll go on to...
Yes.
That's No Moon. What's our big topic? I mean, I guess the GL news is somewhat big.
It is. More exciting.
Yeah.
We got the Zepho.
Yeah, way more exciting.
What were your thoughts?
So I was going to do some combat missions and then we finished the zone. So I did not. I will say, the way we did it, in case people are wondering, we did the special mission on day two.
Yep.
Which unlocked Zepho for us during phase three, but we didn't actually finish, like, because you have the two checkpoints. For those who aren't aware, you have the two checkpoints of Zepho, which get you Kairos. And then the third one is the actual star that you earn.
Yeah.
And if you hit the checkpoint, it counts as you, like, as if you were to get a star in a zone you're preloading. So we didn't want to do that because we wanted to get all of the rewards. So we were just preloading for like 3 days and we went back to Zepho on phase six and it worked really nicely. We basically had to close it off, say no more missions, no more anything. We were trying to be very careful with our platoons in terms of preloading because we didn't want to accidentally get any points there. And then it just kind of finished. So I did the clones special mission. I did not remod for it. So I just took in I had a full Relic 7 501st with Captain Rex and I didn't remod and I was like they're modded decently, like they're modded for my gas team, and I got absolutely toasted.
Really? Just okay,
destroyed. And I was like, okay, we need to remod for this. I like didn't even kill one of the guardians and I went right after the middle one. Like, I know a lot of people were saying the middle guardian was the one that was going crazy and killing their team.
I went after the middle one. I went for the middle one as well.
Mm-hmm.
For no other reason was that's what it defaults to when you start the mission.
It does. I just didn't move off of it, so. It was I heard like some people went in with Bad Batch and the Omega Omicron. And she walked it.
Yeah.
Like absolute cakewalk.
And that's what I did. And it was easy to go through.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is the way just in the 12 months since Rise of the Empire is released,
mm-hmm.
Omega's Omicron was great early on because she makes some of the missions a lot easier.
Right.
But she's been on the bench for me for the past month because of Cal and Leia coming into the game and they like displaced Bad Batch. So like the only place that I use Bad Batch now would be in that mission. So which makes it hard for to justify the Omicron for that. But I got a lot of use out of it. It's nice that I still am somewhere else. I got in early and got a chance at all of the missions. They weren't bad for the most part. I wasn't paying attention, and I used Ray for the unaligned force user mission, which then I used to use Ray on the Kira L3
right
special mission, which made it a little dicey from that side. But I tried my Relic 8 Phoenix team on like the open node in that zone and just got demolished.
Oh.
Didn't get a turn, like wiped off of the map. And like that was a 345 Rex. So, you know, just didn't get a turn. So to me, it feels like that open one, you're probably going to need a Galactic Legend to go after, just because to be fast enough to get a turn is part of it. But the missions in general weren't bad. I took Garbage Jedi with Cal because
why not?
Cal makes Garbage Jedi work.
Mm-hmm.
What to me, what's interesting about the way that we do the we do Zepho as a zone and why I think we closed it off so early is because on day six for us, we're in, and I want Ring it's not Kafrine. Corellia. Yeah, it's Ring of Kafrine, which nobody has enough teams to actually do anything
right.
with.
Right.
And then in the neutral zone, it's Kessel. I know it's not Corellia. Kessel, thank you. And because that's Relic 8, even though we have people that have teams that can go in there, a lot of folks have like full R7 teams that they can't use.
Right.
Because of the relic requirements. So we just had, I think we had a flood of people that were taking missions from that side. So yeah, it'll be, I was surprised that it went as easy as it did.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, like it went really well. And I know I was kind of like on the Zepho rewards when they were first announced, I'm like, but they are going to roll in every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we are going to get a ton of extra Cairo because we're getting the extra star now. But also just like the extra get currency was really nice.
Yeah.
Like we got thousands of it.
Well, and I think also for us, at least I'm getting the impression that we're probably going to start taking a look at where our next non-Zepho star is going to come out of now that we know what how it's going to work. I think we can maybe unstick ourselves from progression in Rise of the Empire, because we've been stagnant for a little bit of time as well, which again, all that stuff starts to add up. So
right. And I mean, the really good thing now is now that we know how it works and how our platoons are going to be affected and where we need to double dip and all that kind of stuff, like you said, we can tweak the map and pick up a couple more stars and stop kind of just sitting there. It was really nice, I will say, to kind of just take a coasting sort of, not even a coasting mentality, because we kind of half coast, just to sort of give us like a little bit of a break of like, okay, now you have to do conquest, now you have to do TV, now you gotta go hit the raid, now you gotta do your grand raid. Like it's nice to just have like a little bit of something in the game where you can just go and do the bare minimum in and still get the rewards. So that was really good. But now that we've got Zepho opened, well, we opened it the one time and we are expecting to open it every time. Should be good.
I'd love to see it. I know I've talked about this internally in our planning chat a little bit, but I'd like to know how far away we are from doing all of the phase or all of the zone two zones in one day.
So I was looking at a path that Quintus in our guild did up that would get us a couple extra stars.
Okay.
And if we were to go that route, we would start doing it now, but we would not get all of the stars on day two.
Okay.
It's just a GP thing. Like, the reason why it's a GP thing is because those ship combat missions are so unreliable on the dark side that you kind of like when you're factoring in how many points you're going to get from them. We like, I just personally just factor in zero. Like
they're so RNG based and,
yeah.
and just dumb from that side.
Yeah. So, and that's all there is to it. But then we would just move forward from there, which is kind of exciting.
Which that ship mission is interesting. That they're gonna have to release a ship that specifically modifies Empire fleets to make that beatable.
It's crazy. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. And I don't see that happening that also doesn't have a pretty significant impact on the meta.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be an auto taunt with a bajillion and a half hit points that you can't dispel taunt on startup. Because it goes first. You know, the other team goes first and there's nothing you can do about it. That just feels like, oh, we're going to put this here. Scythe is going to fix this problem. It's not anything we need to worry about. And then they're like, oh, we forgot to test that when we sent it out. And now it doesn't work. So
now it's broken. Well. Yeah. It's not ideal, but.
Yes.
Yeah. So yay for Zepho.
Yay, Zepho. At least
what
it
you,
was something.
What do you think? Do you think we get another territory battle planet soon?
I don't.
No?
I don't think. I think that. So there were two things in the Rise of the Empire. I think people are asking is going to happen next year. Do we get a new character in Rise of the Empire, and do we get a new planet? And it would make sense that they'd be tied together,
right?
I think Reva was a hook into Rise of the Empire and is not something we should expect.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the next planet will happen until the summer journey guide character.
Hmm. Okay. So we have like six-ish.
Six to 9 months, I think, is away from when we see that. Yeah.
Sure. I was just curious.
I think they need to do something to make those last three zones
mm-hmm.
accessible. Because they're just not right now. It's too difficult to get a guild ready for R9
mm-hmm.
across platoons to make those beatable missions. That it's just, I get they want a multi-year version of this map,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's silly to have all of those phases and essentially make them non-touchable.
Yeah, and like not only do you have to get the platoons ready, you also have to have the teams.
Right? Yeah.
Like that's a lot.
I mean, everybody in the guild needs what? I think in theory, because there's what? There's 10 per, are there 10 per platoon? How many are in each one of the platoon groups?
It is 15 in each platoon. There's 90 characters in one zone. Yeah, it's 270 characters across all three zones in a phase. Characters or ships.
Let's round it up to an even 300 just to make the math easier, because neither one of us like math.
Correct.
That means everyone in the guild needs, in theory, everyone needs a minimum of 11 R9 characters, right, of which five of them need to be able to form a logical team that can do something.
Right. Right. Because six go into platoons, five go on a team.
Yep. That's untenable. It's not something that most.
No.
They've got to fix the math on making R9 viable in those cases.
I still
I thought I muted that. Sorry.
I still only have like the requirement characters at Relic.
Yeah.
Like I haven't taken any, you know, funsy,
yeah,
so to speak, characters. Well, I mean, requirement being whatever was required for an unlock, and then Jedi Master Luke and Leia I consider required.
It's funny. I can build a Ring of Khafrin team to take a swing at that
mm-hmm.
of all Jedi, but it is General Skywalker and four tanks.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, no one does damage on that team.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you're not going to go anywhere very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What's our Bantha?
What are we doing?
I know. What's going on? I just feel like I'm in limbo.
Yeah. Yes, I understand that it's silly that we're suggesting that it's a negative thing that we have nothing to do and nothing to work on after complaining for all this time about there's too much going on, but we're going to do it anyway.
But like, I honestly thought we would have gotten a little bit of raid news by now, a little bit more raid news.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. I'm surprised that we don't have IG-12 in game yet, like the marquee happening. So actually before I go down this rabbit hole, I just want to check the marquee schedule from Afra, because we had those characters released.
Now, Afra had four requirements, correct?
And she this had four will only be three.
This will only be three, right? Yep.
So Hondo was first. His event was October 5th. Trip Zero and BT1 happened at the same time, and that was October 20th. So let's say October 20th was roughly in line with when Paz happened, because then we only have two more.
Yep.
Sauna was, this is, okay, this is surprising. Sauna was November 30th. So we could theoretically see IG next week and then see Keller and Beck at the end of November and still have Bo in December.
And remember, though, the reason why there was such the big gap between the droids and Sana is because they dropped them both in the same week, and then they essentially skipped the next cadence release to go into her. But that's still, that you said from the 20th to the 30th?
Yeah, they do it in October 20th, and then November 30th was Sauna.
So that was a full month in that in that case.
I the only reason why I wanted to look at this was because people were speculating that this means Bo is not happening in December, because we Bo's haven't gotten
December.
And like Sauna didn't go, she went to shipments December 14th, and Afra was before that.
I think like December 5th, I thought she was.
I need to double check.
I thought she was early December.
It is. I want to say she was like the 6th or something like that.
Okay.
Because
we got a Rise of the Empire in December, correct?
We did.
And I had her for the second run. So Rise of the Empire started the first week of December. We had two in December. Mm-hmm. I had her, I think, for the second one.
Dr. Aphra's kit came out December 13th.
Oh, really? Okay. So it was a little bit later than what I thought.
So the event probably happened the same day that Sauna went to shipments. On the 14th. I can see Bo still happening. I'm going to be shocked if Bo doesn't happen in December.
Yeah. Yeah. CG wants a cut of that Christmas money, yo.
Right.
I mean, you get stocking stuffers. You gotta, you gotta get a piece of that.
This is, I'm shocked. I haven't done this before. This is the first year I'm asking for Google Play gift cards for Christmas. People are like, what do you want? I'm like, give me Google Play money.
I may or may not have Santa Claus put Apple gift cards in the kids' stockings, knowing that they probably didn't want them. Then I turn around and give them cash then in exchange for those gift cards, and then I use them in the game. that might have happened before. Like, I don't know.
It feels like we need news. And I don't know if you heard this. Apparently Meathead said somewhere, I think it was on a stream or something, that there's no road ahead the rest of the year.
So this reeks of one of these somebody said it. Because so all right, so I know he said, someone said, are we going to get a road ahead by the end of the month in October? And he said, no.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like one of these cases that is like, and by the way, Meathead said the game's canceled. Like that, you know, it's like right. one of these cases that kind of scales to that point. I just don't see us getting a road ahead or a big, a colossal level post outlining the raid and all of the other pieces, and whether that's a state of the galaxy, whether that's the road ahead, we're going to get some big thing that's going to talk about a new title update.
Right. Cause we need a title update.
Yeah.
Like that has to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's sometime this month, because I would really like the raid to go to once every 6 days.
I'm
just saying.
It's every once in a while, every 3 days, I click the little icon of, and I just start seeing all the memes, and I'm like, oh, yep, these are all the people that got tagged. These are all the tagged people. So, yeah,
all of us suffering. It's fine. Yeah, maybe we'll have news in 2 weeks. They're gonna have something for anniversary. So
yes,
it'll be fine. Maybe. I don't know if we can do this, but what are we enjoying in the game right now?
Speculating on things yet to come.
I have no idea. Yeah. I'm just like, I actually said this to the officers. I was like, do I work on Aphra? And I'm not even joking. They're like, maybe just hoard the gear for now.
Yeah, but that's like, not fun.
I know, it's not fun. I want to push buttons.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, and you know that the second that you unlock Aphra, they're gonna be like, we're never going to see Doubt and Conquest again.
Right. It's just going to be one of those things where I'm like, well, and this is the other thing. And they, one of our officers pointed this out, and it was something I hadn't considered. And he was like, you need the characters at Relic 5 to do the event. And he's like, but if you're going to use her and like put her in Grand Arena and use her team, then you got to commit and take her team up to Relic 7 minimum.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yep.
Yeah. And I just don't know if I want to do that. So
I'm but just it goes floating. Back to what you always say, shards are the hard part.
I know. I have the shards, they're all fine. Yeah. They're just kind of hanging out.
Yep.
So it's just like one of those things now where I'm like, I'm just, what do I do now?
Well, and it also makes it hard because until we get the raid details, right. You're at least going to probably want, I think people are going to want at minimum 12 R8 characters.
Yeah, so it's like, do you just start taking all those characters to gear 12 minimum and then you know, and go from there? So yeah, it's an interesting time in the game right now.
It's really weird, like now compared to this time for you last year, where you're like, so I'm trying to get Lord Vader, but I'm also trying to get Jabba, and I'm trying to do all of these other things,
right?
And it's,
and I was also trying to get Grand Inquisitor. Yeah. Like, it was a wild. I will say, on the Professor X account, it's a wild time. We just unlocked Rey. We got her ultimate, and I'm already into the Kylo farm on tickets. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, and right after this, we're going into Leia.
Like, yeah. It's one of those, like, why are you stressed over there? But over here, it's just like, I don't know what to do with all of these things.
Literally have like a screenshot of like gear pieces that I need for them. And I'm just like, as I hoard them and stuff, I like swipe it on the screenshot because I don't have Hot Utils integrated with Professor X. So I'm like doing it this ridiculously weird hodgepodge way. I'm like, we still need like 150 Kairos and like, because... And like, no Zetas. Like, everybody wants Zetas. Yeah. And we're like, you can have two.
It, you know, I still get a kick out of it. I can't remember who it was in the guild today that was talking about. They're like, they're like, oh, I only have 20 characters left to get into relics, and all of a sudden I have like 700 of both Kairos, and I'm like, yes, that's how, like, I love it every time. Like when people hit that point, I'm like, and it will be that way until the end of time. Now, you earn enough week over week and day over day that all of a sudden you're just gonna always be above board for on that for a period of time, and yeah. But I love that when that this doesn't make sense. I'm like, it does. It'll make sense to you later when you really kind of dig into it.
It's funny because I finished like gearing Leia and stuff, and I've been gearing my Phoenix team slowly. And I still have tons of Kairos. I still have like 700 of each. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Well, because those Phoenix need 50 each. That's all that they need.
I
So
know, it's
it's
nice. It's nice. Okay. Do we want to do some Discord corner
We
questions?
should. We
Because
should.
we got a lot of them.
Yeah, and you can blame me for that. So I was worried we weren't gonna have enough to talk about, so I threw something there and was not expecting, like, next time we ask for Discord questions, let's be honest, we can do it 45 minutes before the show to limit the number of people that want us to weigh in on every topic under the sun.
I know. But there are some really good ones in here. So, okay, Ramius, how much resources should we be setting aside for the new raid, and how much effort do we put into galactic challenges?
So resource for me, I think minimum people are going to want four teams.
Yes.
I think that's the and I think that's four teams at R8. Like, I think that's the number of resources that people should be targeting, because you're going to have a year to burn this raid. This is get after it. I also do think that people should get the Omicron just because it
Yeah.
makes it that much easier. So.
Yeah. I'm definitely saving an Omicron just in case, and then I am hoarding like my signal data and relic material. Like, I'm not really taking very many people. I did take my Phoenix squad, whatever. But I'm mo for the most part keeping everything kind of in check for that, because my thing is I don't want to put gear and relics on a character for the raid for them to be the Jawas. You know, like, I want to know who am I going to throw this gear on, and then put it on those characters, and that's my team, and I'm good. Like, I can put in my four teams at Relic 8 or whatever the case may be.
Right now, I think there's only two slam dunks: Leia and Scout Trooper.
Yes.
And only because Leia at Relic 8-9 is great. And you just, if you miss on it, you miss on it. And the other is Scout Trooper with an Omicron. My expectation is that he's going to just be able to get a team to whatever the max score is. Or excuse me, she will be able to get, to the max score, whatever that is from that side. So everyone else, I just don't know. I mean, you can make an argument around, Han and Chewie because of the Falcon, but do you really need to? So yeah, I just start squirreling some stuff away, and then go let the smart folks like fail to come up with the, if you modded this specific fashion, you'll be able to do this with these, three random characters and call it a day. So.
Right, exactly. Galactic challenges. If I can't get red crate with one team, and maybe two, depending on what it is, just give me tier 8 and call it a day. Like, I'm not gonna sit there and puzzle this thing out, especially on two accounts. With galactic challenges, I look at it and I go, what can I use that I also have access to on the Professor X account? Because if I can't, like this Rebel one, I was like, dude doesn't have Leia. So that's a no-go. And tried CLS a few times, wasn't working. I'm not about to remod on that account because that's a pain in the butt. So it's just kind of like, what can I do to hodgepodge and get this to tier 8 and call it good? Especially when we get so many of them.
Like when you get two, and then a day later you get one, and then all of a sudden you're doing five in a week. That the rewards were nice, but it was a lot of work.
Was a lot. I was like, I just finished some of these. Why are you still here?
Galactic challenges, I always write a crate on them. That is, I like the challenge of it. Again, I'm a little uniquely positioned that I tend to have all the tools that you need to do it, so it's a little bit easier from that standpoint. But I normally have them knocked out before 7 o'clock in the morning, the day that they're released, because I will finish it between six. I do my dailies and everything, drinking coffee between 6 and 7. I will, on days that I have to go, like, and I have to put it down and come back in the evening or the next day, I get frustrated those days. Like, those are not good days for me in Galaxy of Heroes, but I still have historically gone back and done them.
I find, like, for me, if I can't follow my pattern of doing things in the game, I will forget. Like, I need to do those events in the morning. Otherwise, I've just forgotten that they exist, and it will be half an hour before refresh, and I'm like, oh, I didn't do my smuggler's run. Yeah, I have to do those things like that.
All right, from Bodhi, for mid game without all the GL's conquest characters, what do you think offers the best value? Omicrons or conquest characters to speed up proving grounds? And would refreshing for conquest characters make sense?
So this is in relation to the new store.
That I think that's how I'm taking that.
For mid game without all of the GLs and conquest characters. Oh man. Ooh. So I think this also depends on where you sit. Like, are you a PvE player? Are you a PvP player? Because if you're PvE, there aren't that many Omicrons.
Correct.
Also, depending on your roster, you might not have access to all the characters that have Omicrons. So you would theoretically have more Omicron mats to go around.
Agreed. I look at it this way. If you're just starting the game right now, early game, mid game, the goal is to get out of proving grounds forever.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with
That
you.
that's just get that Ricky Bobby garbage out of your life. You don't need that evil juju on you. So anything that you can do to accelerate out of proving grounds, to me, is the right direction. And then you start building Omicrons on top of that.
I've had a few people that message me and they're like, I just finished Proving Grounds for the last time. And like, that's what you want. You don't want to be tied to an event that comes around once a month to get those shards because you can't buy the shards anywhere else. And, it's
And
always the
some,
shards that slow you down. Like, that's what holds you back for these unlock events. So,
and it's not like if you just go get this one team, you can knock out all the proving grounds. Like, it feels, at least from what I've read, is that you need this weird mix of characters in there. So it's anything you can do again to just get out of that space forever. That would be the way that I would look at it. Omicrons come after the fact, and again, as time goes on, things like Omicrons become more common in game. Like Zeta, there was a point in time that, for folks that haven't been playing for 8 or 9 years, when Zetas first came out, they were as restrictive and as impactful to your roster as getting an Omicron was. You were very selective with where they were going, and over time we saw them become just more generally available. We're going to see that with Omicrons over time, because we're going to get, I don't know, Psychrons or something to that point, or going on. So
Well, and so here's the other thing too, is like the faster you acquire these conquest characters, the faster your roster is going to grow. Because let's say you get Cat opens up the door for a lot of things, even without Kenobi. She's gonna make your Padme team stronger. She can make your Trace squad stronger. She's gonna make conquest easier for you, which is again, it's just a vicious cycle there, because if conquest is easier, you're not getting stuck at proving grounds. You finish up your Fury class ship. Now you can get Leviathan. Now you're earning more crystals, right? Like there's the cycle that happens once you pull in these conquest characters, that as you unlock them and your roster gets bigger, then now all of a sudden your roster is growing faster because you have these tools available, which means you now have more tools to take into conquest. It's just like this vicious, never-ending circle sort of thing that now you don't have to go back there.
Yep.
You don't have to go back to the bad place. So I think
that's never going to be poor again. Yes, I'm out.
And then, like you said, now you focus on Omicrons, because before, if you're looking at your conquest characters, you don't have Malakos. Well, there's three Omicrons that you automatically can't apply because you don't have him. Same with Ben, same with Malgus, like whoever the case may be, you can't apply those Omicrons. Yeah. So you're sitting on that stash, because theoretically, let's say you're getting to tier 8 in every galactic challenge.
Yep. Yeah.
You're getting the same Omicron income otherwise, in terms of fixed income from galactic challenges. Say your RNG drops are the same in Cantina. Conquest is really the only iffy zone if you're getting, depending on what you're getting there for your rewards. But that's 4 mats a month maximum. So you're realistically sitting on all of these mats that you wouldn't necessarily be applying because you don't have the conquest characters. So you already kind of theoretically have a stash.
Yep. And the other thing to keep in mind on the Omicrons are they're not forever. Like, I know people get upset with the Omicrons because they're only 4 months, but, you know, we're pushing what into the start of year 3 for Omicrons. And a lot of the original awesome ones are starting to just not get used. Like Zam doesn't get used. And that was a game changer. You know, Wampa still is in certain cases, but like they're becoming less and less Wampa capable teams and on some of these. So
yeah, I got sad last week. There was nothing for me to use my Wampa on.
Yeah. Yeah. So the need to go backwards and do previous Omicrons is probably a little bit less.
That's a good point.
Than the new one. So now it's more about getting some in pocket so that when that new thing comes in and you can very quickly pivot to it on that case.
Yeah. And I think as well, especially for a mid-game player, that, you know, you're unlocking these characters and all this kind of thing. Don't go trigger happy with your Omicrons. Like, don't go and be like, oh, I've got a character. He has 3 Omicrons. I have to give him all 3. You don't.
Yeah.
You can give him the most important one and then see how it shakes out. Like, ask around, what are the most important Omicrons that characters need? Because you don't have to put all of them on there.
Now, that's a very fair point. But the counterpoint to that is, with these changes to the new legendary tokens, I'm ready to just get drunk and start spending Omicrons like it's my, you know, like I have no business.
So we'll see. Oh man.
Yeah.
Okay. Molpokey, what do you think the new ultimate GL challenge thinger event, and possibly even more importantly, it's accompanying rewards means for the direction of the game? Does it mean the game is dying? Haha. I mean, I take their silence as more of a game dying. I think this is just making GLs enticing.
Yep.
I thought that the $10 packs, whatever price point it was CG's way of enticing us to get these older GLs that maybe people were ignoring for so long. You know, you didn't want to kind of like circle back to finish and work on and just make it easier for us. Obviously that was the case. But I think this is kind of like the, okay, this is why you want to have your GLs. Yeah. It like, not only are you building out your roster, like they've said it so many times, we want to reward wide roster.
Yeah.
Build out your roster wide, you get your GLs, and now you get even more rewards so that you can continue building your roster wide, roster wide.
Yeah.
But that being said, I don't know where you go from here. Like, it's the ultimate journey. There's nothing after.
I mean, they could have called this the penultimate journey, and then at least they left somewhere to go.
Right.
But there isn't. I mean,
but you know, if they did that, we would be sitting here asking, "What's the next thing?"
Yeah. So I think there's two pieces to this. I'm taking two pieces out of what this means. The first, it's going to be really difficult to decide we know that we're going to see more packs about these characters
mm-hmm.
coming into the game because they're in the data mine right now.
I know. Come on, Aphra.
It's going to be really hard for people to not pull the trigger on those because of the reward structures that are in place, especially if it's hard, but it's not that hard.
Right.
You know, to complete those. And again, it's a nice revenue bump for CG, which I think they absolutely deserve to do. It's player friendly from that side. So what that does, it will be interesting, is the first piece. The second, I think that this is, we're 2 years into Omicrons at this point. We're just launching into three. Omicrons are going to become more readily available,
mm-hmm.
which I also think that we're probably never going to see an existing character get an Omicron again.
Like a rework kind of
a Treya or right. a DDK or something like that. I think that we are entering the every character gets released with an Omicron,
mm-hmm.
and we may start to see two Omicrons on certain marquee characters. Ooh. Just kind of like that, mm-hmm. that Zeta cycle. I think that's the next logical step from where we're at.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Dang.
So yeah, good luck with that. All right. This is the very serious question. Right. On a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. how evil is CG for lowering the price of older characters, giving us more rewards, double drops, giving us freebies for donating to children in need, additive drops and such? I'm thinking around a 7 to a 7.5. And I think that on the form of a scale, 7 was Pol Pot, 7.5 was Idi Amin, I think was where we were looking at that. So
mm-hmm. how not evil quite is CG?
Yeah. How evil is CG?
I love this question because, like, no matter what they do, people are mad. Yeah. And I just don't get it. Like, I mean, I say this as somebody who has been annoyed with them before and been upset and everything. So, like, I get that. But when they're like, there are things that they do that is just so player friendly or even just neutral. Like, there's no tilt to it at all. And like this squish thing, this squish post. There's no tilt on it. They're not being like, oh, we were out to get you. And they're not being like, oh, we're not fixing it. Like, there's no tilt here. And I just don't get the hatred. And, like, they do so much. Like, the additive drops, the bonus calendars. Like, we've got the web store. The web store thing is, I still go there every day.
Yeah.
And that's just an added freebie. Like, there's all these things that they really do want us to engage.
Yes.
And there are worse games out there.
So I lost my 20s. I spent a big part of my 20s just being angry and taking this view that everything was a slight against me and that little things were much bigger to me and they were bigger fronts. And I get there are people in life that have just had it rough and have been literally crapped on in different places. But I just think back to this period of my life where I would have taken a lot of what's happened. And, you know, because there was, I think part of what set this off was there was a screenshot of someone today, like, you know, this new Ultimate event is just another sign of CG just hating free-to-play players.
Which makes no sense.
It doesn't. I use that as an example because I think of like all of this time that I lost where I could have just enjoyed things more. And I think that there's a certain piece of if you really look at the people that kind of have this opinion, it's not a lot of people that express this. It's a small group, but it's the same common group. And I wish I could just have an opportunity to talk to people like, why do you feel that everyone is out to get you?
Right.
Because that's a lot of what this comes down to. It's not that it's this, I don't think it's this belief that CG's evil, because I don't think that they're evil. I think that they're like any company. They want to extract as much money out of you as possible. The NFL wants to do that out of you. The alcohol companies want to do that out of you. We just legalized weed here in Ohio, and trust me, there's going to be all these companies that are going to spin up, and they're going to try and take all of this money out of your pocket from the system. Everyone's trying to do that. It's not that it's good or bad for anything from that, but this view that people are just out to get me, and I just, that's where I find this whole conversation to be frustrating. And I'm saying all this because, folks, the day that I just decided to wake up and just try to approach the day that not everyone wants to screw me over, because the reality, I don't even register for most of them. I became a much happier person. Burritos tasted better. Pop-Tarts were awesome. Birds I could deal without. But, you know, it's just, yeah. So it's I don't know. But on a scale of 1 to 10, I mean, look, they are Voldemort riding the back of Sauron.
Oof.
Probably running from the Trask in Dungeons and Dragons, which, if you don't know what that is, it's an evil, evil, evil construction. So yeah, they're the worst. Just hands down the worst.
Just the worst.
Yes.
Okay, so last question from Goodwin. Even with the new in-game tools and with hot utils, remodding can be daunting. That's an understatement. How often do you do a significant mod update or rearrange your roster, overhaul, etc., or teams? What is the catalyst for you to consider remodding a team?
Love this question.
Man, okay. So I will tell you, this is how I do. So I have hot utils. And the way that I do it is I do like a roster snapshot, because when I move my mods around, I want to be able to put everything back to how it was, and everyone's modded. Now, is everyone modded appropriately? No, I'm not going to spend time modding Jedi Consular. It's not going to happen. He's just a storage locker. So I go into hot utils and I look at the date of when that was created, because I date it. I call it base August 2022 or whatever it was. And if it has been too long, then I start thinking about doing a roster overhaul. Too long being like 6+ months. And once, as I approach the 1 year mark, I go, I should probably really do this, especially when I unlock more characters. So as I unlock like conquest characters and GLs, like I'll mod them, and I try really hard not to pull from my characters, specific characters that have been modded. Once I realize I'm starting to have to do that, then I'm like, it's time. It's time for me to do an overhaul. And it is awful.
So I'm similar, although where I'm probably a little different is I run an automation on my roster usually once a week on Sunday mornings.
For your whole roster?
For the whole roster. But that will be, I do heavily lock characters, especially characters that have set targets for things. But part of it is, you know, if I picked up a 15 speed, you know, square this week, that 15 speed on somebody's going to probably make a difference somewhere. And I start to look at it in terms of how much how many credits I'm spending on that. So I look at it in terms of my Sunday morning run is typically like the 1 to 1.2 million credit refresh on that point. And that's just to make sure that everything's updated. Mm-hmm. I will typically go through and try to adjust things. And that might be sliding characters around anytime that we potentially get a new marquee character. But usually when we see big shifts in characters, like I did a fairly decent one when the Gar Saxon in ISC came out, because that was a big shift, and that caused some things to shake up. The big ones for me, Journey Guide characters, legendary characters, I will typically unlock everything, and I will do a full 6 or 7 million goal or credit, I guess, credit refresh or remod of my roster, because typically that warrants enough characters that need to move. Like, because I needed to put new mods on R2, I needed to put new mods on old Ben. So that's typically when I do the full kind of the full mounting everything done. Now, I did it for Leia. I will probably have to relook at doing it this week, just because I've been running a slow, heavy hitting Kylo, and I'm starting to get the impression listening to other people that that's just not going to work now. So
yeah, you got
to get Kylo. Yeah, to get Kylo where I need him to be, I'm gonna have to make all the mods available again. You know, type thing. So major game shifts, especially. Although this is one where, if I can make it through this GAC, do I really need to redo Kylo? Because now I'm at the halfway point in the Omicron, and doesn't really matter.
Right, and also like, things are going to be weird for GAC in the next little while. Like, you might be able to just bob along and then worry about it later.
Yeah, especially if Kylo 1 or Kyber 1 starts getting wider again.
Mm-hmm.
Do I really care if I go 4 and 5, but I can stay in there?
Right.
It's normally it's major character releases is kind of where I do that full takes me a day or two to kind of get through it. And when I talk about it, it's a 6 or 7 million credit, but I end up having to do it 6 or 7 times. So it ends up costing me a lot, because I'd be like, oh yeah, by the way, I forgot to do this.
Right.
Or yeah.
Right. I will say, like, you've made that template available for our guild.
Yep.
That you run. And it is unbelievably helpful. Like, that's what I based my like roster base off of, was I ran that, and then I just tweaked things that I wanted to be tweaked, saved it, and carried on. So,
and look, I'll make the offer out there. Anyone who's listening, jump on our Discord, message me your ally code. I'm more than happy to share that with you. I typically update that, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a year whenever anyone asks me. I'll just get you added to it, and you can have that loadout. It's not any magic. I go into people's rosters that are much better than mine, and I set stat targets based off of kind of where they're at, and then people kind of scale them up or down depending on what they need. So,
yeah, I will say the thing with the templates that is really nice is you can just slide the characters around. So, like, when I took it, at the time I didn't have Lord Vader, so I was like, you go way down, we don't care about you. Like, and then you don't have to worry about, like, if you're not using a certain team, just slide them down and don't worry about them. So, I don't think the fleet meta would have changed.
I don't think it has.
The last time we recorded, the event had already happened.
Let me see here. I'm just doing a quick look. Oh, nope. That's funny. We still have a link to the actual arena meta. Yeah. So it has not changed in the slightest.
Perfect.
So same thing.
Perfect. That's what I like to hear. I guess, do we want to talk about who and what we are currently farming?
Are we farming anything?
I'm farming Cairo, because I'm like, I guess Cairo, signal data, and then I usually do furnaces and fleet, but I've been just kind of hopping around and grabbing random bits of gear. I only have I just took Zeb to gear 13 today, so it's just Sabine left. She has she has one piece of gear left that she needs, and then she'll be gear 13, and all of my Phoenix will be gear 13.
Nice.
So I added relics to the squad that goes with Rex, just so that I could use his Datacron in GAC this week. And yeah, I was like, this is fine. And this is the thing, is now I'm like, I don't know what to do.
I'm saving relic material, and that's it. And yeah, it's the same thing.
It's such a weird feeling, like, because I know the raid is coming. Like, that is what the goal is, and the work on the team is there. I'm like, but at the same time, no one is actively telling me to do it.
And there's 30 of them, so you have a good chance of being wrong.
Right. And it's like, this is why, like, I don't go to the gym by myself. I need somebody to tell me what to do, you know? I just need CG to tell me what to do. So, yeah, it's a weird feeling.
It is. And it's probably going to be this way through the end of the calendar year.
Oh, I don't like that idea.
In fact, well, in all fairness, it's going to be like that probably until February. Because if you think about it, we're not going to see the next big game shift or the next big kind of thing probably until February.
Right, because so we'll have the raid and Bo, then Christmas will happen, and they'll be shut down for however long. And then when they come back, it's usually a slow start.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not going to really...
Like, the last 2 years, we got a turd polisher with Aiden and Zori.
Mm-hmm.
But then it launched into the Inquisitors and the Tuskens.
Right. And so we should have a new conquest starting. Like new conquest character that we would be unlocking.
Yep.
That series is, I hope they change this. That series is supposed to start on Christmas Day. Yeah, it's already been flagged to Meathead. So hopefully they are thinking about, because theoretically, like, that means things are going to be broken and they're going to be closed.
Yeah.
So hopefully that doesn't happen. But that would be the next big, like, character unlock theoretically, but that's not going to be until end of February, because you do your three conquest cycles.
So right now we technically get 13 conquests a year.
Right.
Because it's not once a month, it's once every 4 weeks.
Correct.
Would you be willing to trade one of those conquests to have it slide off to the first Monday of January?
I personally wouldn't care. I'm curious what they would do, because I know it lines up with their schedule, and now you have the Datacron schedule attached to it, right? So it's a little bit... I personally would just start it the week before Christmas, because if you start it the week before Christmas, then one, it's no longer lined up with territory battles, which is kind of nice. But you would theoretically be starting it when they're still in the office to catch the bugs and fix any bugs.
I never would have considered them moving it up, because that's a player positive change, as opposed if they pull it ahead a week, that means in theory we start to get it becomes 13.1. You know, you start to get an extra week on that side. If they pushed it out a week, it would start on January 1st.
Which they would still be closed.
Yeah. And I'm less concerned about them being closed and more concerned about, is someone even going to be remotely paying attention to anything? Like there should be zero expectation whatsoever.
Right. That's why I'm using the word closed, because I don't think anyone's going to be paying attention.
And I also don't think that anyone should feel the need to sit down on Christmas Day and make some progress.
Right.
In conquest.
You're not going to want to be like, oh, it's 2 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta open conquest.
You know, that's the week that people are like, oh, nope, we're going to Hoth. Nope, everybody's set purple characters for territorial wars. Like it's the week that everybody takes off from that side. So yeah, hopefully I think the 18th I think it's a great idea to pull that forward. So,
and I mean, you pull it forward, and then if you really want to be a stickler for how the schedule currently runs, then keep it that the January one starts on the current date that it's supposed to start on, and we just have like an extra long off period in between conquests.
So do you know what'd be crazy about that though? So looking at the calendar,
mm-hmm.
So we end on the 13th, right?
For this series? Yeah.
So that would put the next one starting on the 27th of November.
Yep.
That would run through until the 11th. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just the 11th. So then we would have, you wouldn't have to worry about starting two of them back to back.
No, you would still have the week off in between. Yeah. But yeah, starting on the 25th is just a bad, terrible idea. Hopefully they do change that, because
yep.
I can hear the pitchforks being sharpened already.
And actually, the nice part is there's no GAC that week of the 25th.
Right, because that would be off week.
Yeah.
So just pull it forward a week, please. We have good ideas here, CG.
But we should also point out that that's 25th would still be starting territory battles.
Yes, it would be territory battles.
Bodhi doesn't get Christmas Eve off or Christmas Day off.
No.
He's still got to push out the template for territory battles.
Yeah, because I don't think we're going to be going to Hoth this year.
Yeah. Bodhi, we're more than happy to give you time and a half of your current salary that you make for territory battles that day. So.
At least like we can do most of it on autopilot. So I guess you're not farming anything either.
No, I'm saving up relic levels for. I think I'm going to take Paz and Moff Gideon into Relic 9.
Right, I keep forgetting that I have to gear Paz.
Yeah, but that's because I mean, again, first world problems. I have all 30 of the raid characters at Relic 8.
Right, so waiting.
I'm farming stuff that doesn't exist is basically what it's coming down to at this point.
You're just like off at the fair.
Yeah, yeah. I'm starting to put together my kind of project for next year. I'm not quite, but still trying to figure out. I need to get through the end of year announcements before I'm ready to share what I think I'm trying to do.
Ooh, that's probably because
I'm hoping for some stuff. I'm hoping for some stuff to make it a little bit easier. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm it's relic material all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
Zimbiddles, impulse detectors, arrow mags, and relic salvage.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. They're all needed.
Yeah. They never go away.
Well, I think we did it. Took no news really, and
we turned nothing into an hour and 45 minutes. We are professionals.
If only we got paid by the word.
Exactly.
awesome. Well, shall we call it?
We should. Shall.
Same difference. I'll let you do the honors.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us this week. Again, that ought to do it. Until next time, Chewie, we're home.